Well, we have been on a journey for the last 4 weeks about the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. Enjoying it? Yeah? So it is my pleasure and my honor to continue that topic, and I'm going to be talking about the gift of faith. But before I do that, I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Who brought their Bibles? Anyone brought their Bibles in the house today? Right, if you don't know where Corinthians is, it's almost at the back. It's in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. I think we have it on the screen. Okay. There are different kinds of spirit, but the same spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongue. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. I've got a slide and it just shows all of those 9 gifts of the Spirit. And I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for around 30 years. I was saved when I was about 6. So do the maths, that's my age, pretty much. And I was saved in New Zealand at a convention by an amazing evangelist called, what was his name again? Louis Palau. Has anyone heard of Louis Palau? I was at a big conference. And that's where I gave my heart to the Lord. And I have seen miracles. I have been a pastor's kid for almost 30 years. And I've been a missionary's daughter. And I have lived in Africa. And I've seen the Holy Spirit move in my life and the lives of others. And as I grow in maturity, I just want to share with you how I see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially concerning faith. But first, I'd like to address 2 points about the gift of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not medals of honor. They are not titles or awards. They're not badges to be worn on a Sunday and paraded around. There are no merits at all because they are gifts. And if you had to work for them, they wouldn't be gifts. Because nothing that we as human beings can do is ever going to be good enough to deserve any of it. God is the giver, and he wants to give us the gift. And he gives those gifts just as he determines. The way I see the spiritual gifts is they are tools for the job. I love when Mum preached a few weeks ago and she was talking and she quoted Anthea, they're tools, not toys. And they're tools for different jobs that need to be done. You know, you need a drill when you need a drill, right? You need a hammer when you need a hammer. A pair of pliers when you need pliers. Because there are different tools for different jobs that need to be done. And this is how I see them. You do not have to possess all 9 gifts of the Spirit. You know, I don't look around and think, oh, look, he's got the gift of faith, or she's got the gift of prophecy, or she's got the gift of the word of knowledge, or he's got the gift of miraculous power of healing. Because I do not see it as something that you or I possess. Because when I wake up and I report into to the Lord for my day, I say to him, you know, what do you want me to do? And he will give me the exact tool that he wants me to use for whatever he has determined me to do in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because today it might be to heal the sick, and tomorrow it might be to raise the dead. And the day after that, I might need to cast out some, he might need me to use me to cast out spirits. The point is, if I'm connected, and if you are connected, and if you're listening, and I'm listening, then he will give you the tool that you need in that moment, not to possess it, not to walk around, I've got the gift of this, but to use it. Because he wants you to use it. And he will always give the right tool at the right time. And that is the key. The key of everything to do with spiritual gifts is being connected to the boss, to the source. You know, and if you follow this picture, so much will fall into place. I don't have to have, I don't need to have all 9 tools in my bag that I'm carrying around waiting to just use them when I see someone that needs healing, get out my gift of healing, because they're not mine. I'm not possessing them. You know, and just be kind to me. I've not gone to Bible college and I'm not a theologist. Not a theologian, but I've been around the block and I have seen how the Holy Spirit moves and I have experienced it in my own life. So I'm coming to you today from an authentic place of living. And when we get the power of the Holy Spirit, let's say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's not at that point that he downloads this big tank or gives us a big battery for us to use of all of these gifts. It doesn't work like that, in my experience. Let's just take a look at John 15, verse 4. It's in the New Testament. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. We got it up there? Okay. So I just prefer reading it out of my Bible rather than on the screen. My good old Bible that I've had for a long time, that's quite marked, so I can't sometimes read what I've... Here we go. Here it says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." He says, I am the vine. And you, me, we're just the branches. We must abide in him. This is such the key. Thank you, Rob. We must abide in him. And as we do, there will be a flow of life and of power that is non-stop, day and night, moment by moment. Because we don't own the power we possess, and we don't possess it, and we don't have any power to wield on our own. And I have, you know, being a pastor's kid, I've been to many conventions and seen lots of things, and seen where it's almost people walking around with a medal of honor. I've got this. Actually, no, you haven't. We don't have anything without Jesus. And if we're not connected to him, we can do nothing. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, I've got all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. So we don't have the power. We can't control it because he is the power. And we are connected with him because we are not a spring or a source. We're just more of a tap. You know, we don't own the power. We just let it pass through us. And the whole secret of all of this is to remain connected. To be connected, you must know him. Matthew 7:22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. It's quite extreme, isn't it? You evildoer. Even though you're doing all this good stuff. Because it's not about us. It's all about him. You know, I've been blessed with having 4 children. I know I don't look like I've had 4 children. That's what happens when you die. I don't mind. I've been working hard. And, you know, any woman that has had a baby, you know that that baby is kept alive because it has an umbilical cord connected to you. If you didn't have an umbilical cord, that baby would not live because it would have no connection into the source. So turn to your neighbour and tell your neighbour, we have to stay connected. Moment by moment and step by step, we have to stay connected with the Spirit of God. Because if you did have a big tank given to you at one point, you know, it could leak. It could all sort of ooze out. It may run out. You may drop it. What if you did something that you had this gift and then suddenly you dropped it or it emptied? Because it's not like that. Because if we are truly the branch and if we are connected to the vine, then as long as we live and as long as we stay connected, there is an everlasting source. What do you guys think of that? You and I are not a power of anything. We don't own it. We're just the tap. We don't own the water. We just release it. You know, there's no magic wand you can wave or work you can do to really deserve the gifts because they are given by the source, by God, by the Holy Spirit, just as he chooses. And my first challenge this morning, as I've talked about being connected, is what I'd love you to ask yourself as the Holy Spirit is talking to you today. Are you walking step by step with me? And just let that sink in. Are you so focused on the gifts that you're not even... What about me? What about the Holy Spirit? What about staying connected? So that's what I'd like, the first thing I'd like to sort of start with. So concerning faith, you know, who can really sum up what the gift of faith is? I went to the dictionary as I was preparing, and it says lots of things, and there's lots of things out there, and some people it's like a real strong belief or a trust. Is it? I don't know. I think we actually know so little about it. And as I get older, and the more I grow in my own faith, I realize actually how hard it is to summarize. And an amazing woman of faith who knew the Holy Spirit, who knew Jesus, who knew God, was a lady called Catherine Kuhlman. And she summed it up like this. Faith is that quality or power by which the things desired become the things possessed. You cannot weigh it or confine it to a container. It's not something that you can take out, look at, and analyze. You cannot put your finger on it and positively say, that is it. That is the gift of Holy Spirit faith. And you know what? It is hard to define what it is. But I do know, and I think we know what it is not. And I just want to focus on that, because sometimes easier to talk about what it's not, what something isn't. And one of the most common errors we make in this regard is to confuse faith with presumption. We mistake one for the other, and there is a vast difference. You know, Rob and I watched Prometheus, which is like an alien sci-fi movie. And in that film, if any of you have seen Alien, the original Alien, there is an android who looks like a human. Right? Has anyone seen it? Yeah? Looks just like a human. Appears exactly like a human. But he's not at all. He's actually an android. Even though he looks exactly the same, there is no life. And sometimes we do mistake one for the other. And I've got a picture of a cake here. And just follow me on this, and my sort of my crazy brain sometimes does things. Now, like, here is a cake, right? And there's icing on the cake. But the cake is more than the icing. But if the icing asserts itself that it's the cake, then it's assuming too much. Does anyone follow? Yeah. What I mean? Because there are many who mix the ingredients of their own mental attitude with confidence, a pinch of trust, a generous handful of religious egotism. Sorry.
He's just warming up.
He's got to live with me. And they proceed to add some belief along with some other ingredients. And they mix it all together in this spiritual crucible. And they label the total result as faith. And actually, it's more likely to be presumption than faith. Because faith is more than belief. And it's more than confidence. And it's more than trust. It's more than boasting. His wisdom and his will, you know, Holy Spirit faith will never work contrary to the word of God, ever, ever. And it will never work to the perfect will of God. And one thing I know, in you and in me, that apart from God, there are no ingredients. There are no qualities which, however mixed, will create even the smallest seed of Bible, Holy Spirit, faith. What do you think? Because faith is a gift from God. We cannot create it. And I'm not talking about trust or belief or strong understanding of the scriptures. I'm talking about the spiritual gift of faith. And the source of faith remains the same. It all comes from God. And what I have seen in my walk or roller coaster, whatever you want to call it, of faith journey, which is a different type of faith, that you can't have Holy Spirit faith without results. When I was younger, my parents used to read the Bible a lot to us, and we had this awesome book called The Action Bible. I think it's an American book. And so once a year, Mum and Dad would read it to us about 5 times a year. And it was really detailed. It was really quite gruesome. It didn't miss out any of the gruesome parts of the Bible. But it was cool because it had like a comic book feel. So I've got a picture for you. Because I want to read you a story. True story. It's out of the Bible. 1 Kings 18, verse 16. Can we have that first image, please, Yaku? One Kings 18. Now let me set the scene. Elijah is a prophet of God. He knows the Holy Spirit. He knows Jesus. He knows God. I keep saying all of them because they are. We believe in a triune God in this church, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he was challenged by a very wicked king and a nation that worshipped a god called Baal. And if you can see on the screen, they said, okay, we're going to have a challenge. We're going to see whose god is more powerful. So they set an altar, and I'm going to pick it up on, where am I? verse 26. Actually, we'll go from 25. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Oh, Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around their altar they had made. And at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awoken." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until the blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered and no one paid attention. I mean, we all know why. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come here to me." Okay, so let me just stop there. So these prophets, I know they are praying to a God that has got no power. But the point is, they put a lot of energy into it, a lot of effort and belief and trust. They've probably had their Bible equivalent. And they believed with all their heart that they could that Baal could do this thing. And they wanted to see it happen. And they believed that it could happen. And they had zeal. So then, Elijah, he steps up. Can we have the next slide, please? And he said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said. And they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled up the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant." Right, this is the key bit. "And I have done all these things at your command." He wasn't on an ego trip thinking, "I know my God is much stronger than yours. He could easily lick this." He did it at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where am I? 37. "Answer me, O Lord, answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice. Next slide, right? I know it's a kid's cartoon. How did the Holy Spirit come in the New Testament? With fire. So this is the Holy Spirit. Comes with fire and burnt it up. Because Elijah did that at the command of Jesus, at the command of God. When I was 19, I had, when I was 16 actually, I kind of dated, fell in love with this lad. It was, you know, silly childhood thing. He was called James. And, you know, I fell in love. I knew him for like 3 weeks. And, true love. And, yeah. And he was a lovely guy. He was 18. And when I was 19, I got a phone call from his cousin who had told me that he had just been killed in an accident. And it was really horrible, You know, he was only 21. And she phoned me up and she was like, he just died 10 minutes ago. And I got off the phone and burst out crying. And at that time, you know, I was zealous for God. I still am, but in a different way. It's more matured. Not lacking. Don't worry, there's a lot going under here that you can't see. But I was zealous and I was like, my God raises from the dead. I know he can raise him from the dead. I am a child of God. He has given me everything that the Bible says. You will do this. You will see signs of wonders. You will perform many things in my name. And so I phoned up my friend who knew the Lord. And I said, look, I feel that we should go and try and raise him from the dead. And he was like, okay, cool, let's go. So we went to the mortuary, right, 19 years old, praying the whole way, believing and trusting and knowing that God can move and raise the dead. And we stood outside the mortuary calling him forth in the name of Jesus. I phoned up my friend, the cousin, and said, is James alive? She was like, no, I just told you. You know, I told you a couple of hours ago. It's awful. Do you want to go and see him? And I was like, yeah. Anyway, I couldn't go and see him because of wasn't family. And I stayed out there for hours praying and believing and standing on the word of God that he is a God that raises from the dead and that has power and authority over everything. And did James raise from the dead? No. And I know that there are people in here who have prayed for things that have not happened, despite the fact that the word of God says that he heals people. Does that mean God doesn't want to heal? No. Does it mean that God is bad? No. And do you know what? That derailed me. I was like, who are you that you say these things and it doesn't even happen? And I'm standing outside calling forth somebody with fervency and trust and belief and absolute certainty that this is going to happen. And it didn't happen. And do you know why? As I have grown, God never commanded me to do that. And had he commanded me to do that, and had he given me the gift of miraculous powers to be the tap, it would have 100% happened. Because it wasn't about me. And that derailed me so much. So much. Because I was like, how can I stand on your word if it's not even true? And that was the real deal. And I know that people have this in their niggle in their head sometimes. I've been praying for a baby. And I've not had a child. And now I'm 50. I've been praying for things that hasn't happened. Well, do you know what? I'm sorry. But if you stay connected and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, moment by moment by moment, he will tell you. And it won't be in our own strength or because we think it's a good idea or because we know that the word of God says he can do things. It's not about that. It's about listening and doing things at his command. Look at what Jesus himself, the Son of God, says in John 5:19. He says, he only does what he sees the Father do. And he only says what he hears the Father say. And my second challenge to you is kind of two challenges, two questions. Can you hear the voice of God? And are you obeying it? So the first challenge, are you walking step by step with the Holy Spirit? And then can you even hear him when he tells you and commands you to do things? And then are you doing it? Or are you too busy thinking, oh, but look at this, look, we've got stuff to do. You need to stay connected. Because trust is sometimes called faith. And I was mistaken that that was Holy Spirit faith, because it wasn't. Actually, I knew it wasn't Holy Spirit faith. I didn't even question it. I just thought, I've got faith. I trust. I know. I've read the Word. I know my Bible inside and out. It is inwoven into me. I know He can do it. But do you know what? It doesn't make Him less God, because He doesn't. It doesn't. But we have to be connected in and do what He commands of us. I've got a 2-minute clip to show, and it's Jesus and His disciples that had a big day of teaching, and they get into a boat and they're going on the Galilee Sea, and they're crossing the Galilee Sea. And I just want you to watch it, and then I'm going to talk about it. If we can get there.
One day, Jesus got into a boat with His disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And as they were sailing, He fell asleep.
Where is your faith?
Sometimes people walk around with the belief when they haven't been healed or something hasn't happened, and they sometimes, even if they don't verbalize it, think, "My faith wasn't strong enough. I just didn't have the faith." Let me talk about that a bit. So in this clip, you see the disciples and the master on the water, and it was all still. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, this storm comes, and it's so crazy, they think they're going to die. And they're fearful. And the whole time, Jesus is sleeping. Jesus was sleeping because He wasn't alarmed a bit. Well, He mustn't have been. He was very calm. He was living in a realm of peace that you can only have if you have the presence of God in you. And He stood up to them and He said, "Where is your faith?" Where was it? Had they left it on the shore? Did it fall out of the boat? Did the wind carry it away? Just where was their faith? And do you know, the question came from the lips of the author of our faith. Their faith had been right in the boat, resting the whole time. It had never left them for a second. It was right there in the boat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who was their faith? They had made the mistake because they forgot that His presence. They were so busy discerning the the realities of the storm, they forgot that his very presence was there. And he possessed all the gifts to give anyway. And that's exactly what Jesus said when he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Because without him, you can do nothing. There's no good knowing about all of the gifts of the Spirit without truly being plugged in and knowing him. And so many times our eyes, we're all guilty of it, can be focused on our problems, our circumstances, our weaknesses, our physical ailments, our storm in our boat. And I'm not diminishing it. There are some people in here with serious storms going on in their lives. And you know what? The surest way in the world to be defeated is to focus on the what? The storm. And do you know, if you do that, the storm will capsize your boat. And if you keep your eyes on yourself, the storm will capsize your little boat. And yet the fact remains that our faith for victory is nearer and closer than your hands and feet. As long as you have your eyes on Jesus, he is your faith. So somehow in the darkness of whatever hour you might be, can you see him asking you this same question? Child of mine, where is your faith? You have struggled so long, you've prayed so hard, and you didn't see anything happen. There is a storm raging around you, maybe. But be quiet and still, because he's asking you the same thing. And that's my final challenge. Where is your faith? Because your faith is resting right there in your boat. Your faith is right there. Closer to you than you ever dreamed possible. My closing kind of finale is get your eyes off the circumstances and get your eyes off the storm and just put your focus on Jesus Christ. I'd like us to stand and we're going to sing a song. And as we sing it, if the Holy Spirit this morning has stirred something inside of you, I'm going to give you time to respond this morning. And if you want to recommit to him, and if you felt challenged by any of those challenges that I invited you to look at for your own lives, you know, where is God in all of this? Can you hear God, and are you following it? Are you keeping step with the Holy Spirit? I don't want you to leave this place without having an opportunity to make things right and to get onto a different course. Mum's going to come up in a minute and just close the service. But this is a really beautiful song. I just want you to close your eyes. And if you want to recommit to him, just raise your hand.